In the sermon, discover who a disciple is and how, as a follower of Christ, your life can make a difference for generations to come. Now the word with Pastor Paul.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. I just get excited coming into God's house, I tell you. Notice this. In Revelations, this is not my message this morning, but notice Revelations chapter 22. Thank you, Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Revelations chapter 22. The Bible says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruit, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." The key here is, he says, each tree yielding its fruit every month. You see, every month, God has harvest, a harvest packet for you. He has fruit for you. And so I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, in the month of February, may you receive that which God has packaged for your life. May you receive everything that God has planned for your life. If you believe that, say amen. And on the other side of it, may the fruit that God has ordained that you will bear this month, may you bear that fruit in the mighty name of Jesus. In every area of your life, may your life make a difference in the life of somebody else, in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Oh my Lord and my God, glory be to the name of the Lord. All right, that was just the appetizer. Let's get into the main meal here. Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles with me this morning to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's start from verse 14. It will give us a context of what we are going to talk about this morning. It says, "And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food.'" 16. Matthew 14, 16. "But Jesus said to them, 'They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat.' And they said to him, 'We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, 'Bring them here to me.' Then he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up the 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children." 22. "Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. 23. "And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost,' and they cried out for fear." 27. "But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid.'" Thank God for his word. Now, verse 14 says, "He was moved with compassion and healed their sick." That is what moved Jesus in his ministry on the earth, and that is what moves us as well in our ministry in the earth right now. And that is what he endeavors to do through us. Now, he was holding a healing campaign or a healing meeting. People were getting healed. Then the disciples came unto him and said, "The place where we are, there's nothing here. So let's do something for these people. Let's get them food to eat." Jesus said, "You give them something to eat." Think about it. They come to him and then he shifts it back on them. "You give them something to eat." And then he asked them, "What do you have here?" They said, "We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, bring them here to me. And when he received it, the first thing that he did was he blessed it and broke and gave to the disciples. And as the disciples kept giving, they kept multiplying. And what you have to realize here is that the multiplication happened in the hands of the disciples as they obeyed the Lord to do that. Now, he says that now when those who were there were about 5,000 besides men, besides women and children. And in a great healing campaign like that, you can expect that there will be children, there will be men. And sometimes in some cases, the women and children together will be more than men. So let's say there was a one-to-one relationship. At the very minimum, there were 10,000 people there. But after he did that, the next thing that he says in 22 was that he said he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. He sent the multitude away, but he made the disciples get into the boat and go to the other side. Now, you see, he's making a difference here. The word disciple in the Greek literally means a student or a learner or a follower. He makes the disciples go further, but the multitude he sends away. The question that we have to ask ourselves this morning, you see, when it comes to the disciples, they are his closest. They follow him very closely. But the question this morning is, are you a disciple or are you part of the multitude? The multitude, he told them to go home. The disciples, he told them to go a step further. You see, disciples or people who follow Jesus are people who go a step further. The multitude just come to be fed with bread and fish. They come for the miracles. And after they see the miracles, there's no commitment or there's no further step to follow Jesus. The disciples are people who are not, the multitude are the people that normally they complain. Remember the people that left Egypt to go to the promised land. The multitude was what got Moses in trouble. They are the ones who complain. The disciples are the ones who compliment. The multitude all come to collect and just get a miracle. The disciples are the ones who follow Jesus and get to the point where they are now working the miracles with Jesus. The disciples are the ones who come for just the bread and fish. The multitude are the ones who come for bread and fish. Disciples come to serve and to give their lives. There's a big difference there. The disciples are the one who come and say, Lord, our lives are yielded to you. The disciples are the ones who will come early and first, and they are the ones who will be the last to stay to gather the fragment. The multitude, he sends them away. This morning, the question is, which one are you? Ask the person next to you. Are you the part of the multitude or are you a disciple? Ask the person next to you. Are you a disciple or are you a multitude? Thank you, Lord Jesus. The disciples, the multitude, just come just to take. They just come for the miracles. They just come for the bread. The disciples are the ones who give of their time, their talent, their finances, all these things to make the work of God go continue and to follow Jesus. Oh, the multitudes are the ones that will say, I was here when these people were just getting started. I used to be here. But the disciples are the ones who give their lives and say, Lord, we will follow you and serve you in the house of God. It is time to switch from being a multitude, being part of the multitude, to being a disciple. He sends the multitude away because he's not going to get any value out of the multitude. They just came to receive and they left. But the disciples are going to follow on and obey the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. If you were dead that day, would he have sent you away? Or would he have said, come and go with me to the other side? I have certain things I want to teach you. There are deep truths I want to teach you. so important for us to realize that the disciples endeavor to go a step further, to go with Jesus to the other side, to follow him closely. So important. So important for us to realize that. And he will send you to the other side till he will observe you. He will see how, I mean, observe you before he sends you into the boat to the other side. But the good news is, when Jesus sent you to the other side, you are not going to go under. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That is why I'm excited. I mean, God has led us. I mean, you see, to see a change in your life. Someone said, to see a change, you must be willing to make a change. So important to realize. That's why I'm excited about the Wednesday service. God has commissioned us. Raise me a people for the work of the ministry. Raise me leaders. You see, the thing is, Jesus had 12 disciples. He trained them very well, and those 12 disciples took the world over. He just started with 12, and it got down to us. So we are endeavoring to do that this year. Train people so we can go into this community and make a difference for the Lord. So important for us to realize that. Anyway, thank you, Lord Jesus. My Lord and my God, glory be to the name of the Lord. The disciples say, here I am, Lord, send me. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. But the thing is that once he sent them to the other side, said they got into the boat and said, go on to the other side. Now, notice this picture in verse 23. And when he has sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. So now you have to get the picture in your mind now. The multitudes are gone. The disciples are in the boat on a journey to the other side. He goes up a step further to the mountain to pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, verse 24. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, the thing that's happening here is, Jesus said, let's go to the other side, but they've run into a storm. Let us go to the other side, but they've run into a storm. And sometimes it's similar in our own lives. We start out on a journey, and we know that it's God's will, but some way, somehow, we run into a difficulty. We come into a certain circumstance that we didn't plan for. But the thing that we have to realize is, why will the enemy send us a storm? Now you have taken a decision to obey the Lord. You have taken a step towards for the fulfillment of that which God has for your life, of a vision or a dream or whatever it is. And it gets difficult. The reason why, I will look at a number of reasons why. The devil will wait. Why does he wait for you to get into the middle of the sea? In the middle of the sea, the mid-sea, a storm comes. Number one, he wants to cause you to be distracted so that you are no more attracted to the things of God. He wants to take your attention from the Lord Jesus. And when he can distract you, he can get your attention and cause you and give you direction and send you down a different path. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When now you no more enjoy serving the Lord, serving God, serving in his house, telling his good news to others, praying, reading your Bible, he wants to get you in that storm so he can take your attention from the Lord, get you distracted. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If he can distract you, he can destroy you. And if he can distract you and cause you to turn back and go back, then you've lost. Jesus said, go to the other side. Now you go to the middle of the sea, the storm came, and then you turn around. That's what happened to the children of Israel. They got to a point where they said, let's go. They told Moses, let's go back to Egypt. Numbers chapter 14, you can find that story. Let's just go back to Egypt. It was better for us in Egypt. So let's go back. Egypt can give you food, but they can't give you God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Turning back at that point in the mid-sea is not an option. And that is what the enemy will like you to do. Number two, he wants you to lose your confidence in the God who called you. Because he knows that if you lose your confidence in God, then you cannot even trust anyone. He wants you to lose your confidence so that you turn back. But how many of us realize that in the mid-sea, in the middle of the sea, you're already in the middle, the same level of effort it would take to get to the other side is the same level of effort it would take to turn back. So why turn back and lose it all? Instead, keep going forward, because it's going to take the same. You're already in the middle of the sea. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Number three, the mid-sea is a place of choice. It's a place of decision. Sometimes you hear people say, for the last 3 months, have you heard this before? For the last 3 months or 6 months, it seems I have been through a storm, and the storm doesn't appear to even come. I mean, there's no end in sight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But then if we make a decision, a choice, at that point, we can keep going forward. The wind and the storm comes to shake us from our very foundation, to take us off course. And at that point, in the middle of the sea, is when we have a choice. We can either decide to continue to please God, or we can say we are just going to give up. And you see that the truth of the matter is, in the world, there are so many things that can, make us to be shaken. Notice what the Bible says in Psalm 21, verse 7. Psalm 21, verse 7. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Psalm 21, verse 7. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Follow me closely here this morning. It says, for the king trusts in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. The King James puts it this way. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. You see, God loves you. The king is not going to be moved. And in God, you are a king and a priest in God's eyes. No matter what comes, you will not be shaken. You see, people are easily shaken. Some are easily shaken from a word from somebody else. Sometimes people shake. We shake when we encounter a difficult problem. Sometimes it is with children rebelling. Sometimes it is with a marriage situation or a relationship situation. Sometimes it's with a business that doesn't go well. And when people get to that point, they say, I would rather die, because I'm being shaken. Life is so hard. Life is so difficult. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sometimes it seems the problems keep coming and coming. But no matter how life may get, hold on to the Lord and do not be shaken, since the Lord, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is with us. We can be strong. We can continue to believe in the Lord and to trust Him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Psalm 97 verse 9 says, "For you, O Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods." Isaiah 45 verse 5, the first part says, "I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. Apart from God, there is no other God that can help you." And in the name of Jesus, as you trust in His love, as you trust in His goodness, as you make a firm decision that you will not be shaken, I can assure you that God will take you to the other side. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. You see, the question becomes, what if they hadn't started on the other side? Would the enemy have bothered them? If you hadn't started on that journey, he won't bother. He doesn't bother himself with people who are just sitting down and not making a move toward God or to obey God. He won't bother them. But as soon as you make a move, it seems you get challenged. And then the thing is, at that point, they have the option to turn back. And when they turn back, now instead of being led by the Lord, they are leading themselves. And when you do that, you are headed for destruction. God doesn't want you to lead yourself. He never abandons those He sends forward. He doesn't do that. The enemy comes against you so you can turn back. But God will never abandon you. God will never leave you nor forsake you. So important for us to realize that. Have you ever reached a place in life where no one can help you? In the middle of the sea, where are you going to get help from? It is dark at night. The storm is on. You are on your own. Have you ever been in a place like that? But thanks be to God. Oh, in the middle of the storm, that is when Jesus will walk down to us and say, "It is I, do not be afraid. It is I, do not be afraid." And sometimes fear grips us. It is like the story of a certain young boy. He had a part to play in a church play. And his line was, "It is I, do not be afraid." So the mother took this boy and kept rehearsing with him over and over and over. "Son, your line is, it is I, do not be afraid. It is I, do not be afraid." And so on the day of the play, he went to the stage. And there were so many lights, and the crowd was there, and he got frightened, and he started moving from his foot from left to right, foot from left to right, foot from left to right. And then the prompter at the back said, "It is I, do not be afraid," trying to remind him of the line. And this child just stood there going left to right again on his foot and said, "It is I. And I'm afraid, I am scared to death." "It is only me, I am afraid, and I'm scared to death." The mother had told him, "Honey, your line is, it is I, do not be afraid." He got there and everything. The one who is reciting, "It is I, do not be afraid," now gets frightened. Couldn't say he's lying. At least he was honest about it and he was willing to confess it. It is only me. I'm afraid and I'm scared to death. Sometimes it's good to just let it out. Lord, it's only me. Help me. Help me. If you don't help me, help can't come from anywhere. And in the mighty name of Jesus, when you call on the Lord, he will help you. And you have to realize also that they're in the middle of the sea. They have made all their efforts and it seems there's no progress. They are battling with a storm. But God will never leave you nor forsake you. Be assured of that this morning. Psalm chapter 37, verse 25. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 37, verse 25. Notice what the Bible says. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 37, verse 25. Glory be to the name of the Lord. What did I say? Psalm 37, verse 25. Thank you, Lord. He says, I have been young and I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. I have been young and now I'm old. I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And this morning, God is saying to you by his word that he will not abandon you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. It may seem lonely. It may seem like your life may be lonely in the dark places of your life. In the mighty name of Jesus, God is saying he will never leave you nor forsake you. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Another thing that you have to realize. Thank you, Lord. Notice what the psalmist also said. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Psalm 97. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 97, verse 9. For you, O Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. He's far above anything that you may be faced with. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And you see, at that time, the time that they were in, is between 3 a.m. and 4 a.m. in the morning, and the doctors say that is the time that is the easiest time to die, the easiest time to give up, because at that time your nerves are collapsed, your nerves are relaxed. It's dark. There is a storm going on, but just when they get to the end of themselves, when you have done your best, look behind you, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming towards you. He's not far away. When you have done your very best, when you get to the point of even giving up, Jesus is not far away. And in this account, you notice that they didn't have to cry out for Jesus to come. Jesus came on his own accord. If he hadn't come, why? Because if he doesn't come, that will be the end of his disciples. He knows that if he doesn't come through for you, that may be your end. Oh, say it this morning, Jesus. Jesus. Say it from your heart, Jesus. Jesus. It's not far away from me. Say it one more time, Jesus. Jesus. It's not far away from me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He sees you no matter how dark it is. He's coming here. And that is the miracle here. You see, it's one thing to pray and for God to answer. It's one thing for God to see you where you are and say, I have got to do something about this. And he comes towards you and delivers you. You see, and then there are other instances where, like with the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, she got to the end of herself. Instead of waiting for Jesus to come, she made a step and went to Jesus. Because sometimes if you just wait and not do anything, you wait for a long time. You have to make a move toward Jesus for your deliverance. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In some cases, you may be even laughed at. You mean Jesus said, go to the other side and you've run into a storm? You mean you are in the will of God and you've run into a storm? But in the midst of that, he will let you know that he is not far away. And he will deliver you. Then the other thing to realize here is, why is it that Jesus walked on what was about to kill them and it didn't kill him? Think about it. He walked towards them, the very same circumstance that is about to kill them. He walks on that circumstance, through that circumstance. Because thank God, Jesus created the water, and the water has no power over him. Jesus created the wind has no power over him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Why is it that the devil also chose the middle of the sea to come? He wants you to get started. But if he had come earlier, maybe they wouldn't have seen how big your God is. Your God is bigger than the storm. No matter how terrible the pain is, your healer is right there with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then the other thing is, you have to realize, I just like teaching this way. It's fun. The thing that you have to realize is, Jesus didn't have a ship. He had gone to the mountain to pray. And so when he sees them in that difficulty, why doesn't he just say, where is a ship that I can just take and go to this place? Jesus has his own form of transportation. You don't need to worry about that part. because he knows that if he doesn't intervene, that is their end, and he's not mocked. God is not mocked. And he will not let you be mocked either. He will come through and to deliver you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So this morning, do not be afraid. It is God. He says to you, be of good cheer, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And also, a merry heart works good like medicine. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray, that this year, as you continue to press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, as you continue to pursue that which God has for your life, that would endeavor to challenge your God and to ask you, where is your God? May Jesus himself, may God Almighty himself step in and turn it around for his glory. You see, the question is, if I am in the will of God, why all these trials and tribulation? God has an answer for you this morning. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We glory in them. Glory in tests, in trials, and tribulation. This is the Apostle Paul writing here. He suffered a lot for the cause of Christ. And he's saying that we glory in them. Think about it. Because he says, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. It produces a kind of perseverance in the believer when you know that the test, the trial, the tribulation that you are going through, oh, you glory in it because you know what the end result will be. You know what the end result of that test and trial is going to be. You glory in it. I know how this is going to turn out. I know that my God is going to deliver me. I know that he's going to bring me out. That's why he glories in it. What did he say? And perseverance, character. Developing a character in you. God is interested in that. And character, hope. And that hope, thanks be to God, does not disappoint. That hope does not disappoint. Your hope in God will not be disappointed. I can assure you of that. Your hope in God will not be disappointed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He says something similar. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. We know that which we go through, he will deliver us. That's how come we can glory in it. That's how come we can be assured that he will deliver us. Thank you, Father. Be assured in that this morning. Let that be that which you are comforted with this morning. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. My. Romans 8, 18. He says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He's saying something similar to what he said in Romans. In the prior verses in Romans chapter 5. The sufferings, the test, and the trials which you are faced with is nothing compared to the glory which will be revealed in you. So you can glory in it. When Jesus is with you and in your boat, everything is going to be all right. Your tomorrow will be all right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Is this helping all of us this morning? Is this helping us this morning? Thank you, Father. He's with you all the time. And this morning, I see someone being delivered. I see someone being made whole. I see God coming through for someone. You will know his peace. You will know his provision. You will know his care. You will know his love. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And as we prepare our hearts this morning to receive communion, I pray that the broken places of our lives, God will make it whole. As we decide that we are not going to be just part of the multitude, but we are going to be a disciple, a true disciple of Jesus Christ, and follow him no matter. You see, disciples follow Jesus no matter what. No matter what comes up, we are the ones that are determined that we will follow Jesus. And I pray, anything in your life this morning that is lost, that rightfully belongs to you, Anything in your life that looks very challenging, may God come through for you. Notice 1 Samuel chapter 30. Thank you, Lord. It will be good for all of us to read it this morning. 1 Samuel 30 from verse 1. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Today, thank you, Father. He says, now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekite had invaded the south with and Ziklag and attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken captive the women and those who were there. From small to great, they did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Another translation says he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. David goes to battle, wins the battle, and comes back, and his whole family is gone. The people have invaded Ziklag and burned it with fire, taking away everything. And they begin to weep till they have no more power to weep anymore. That's a serious situation when you see men weeping like that. No more power to weep. They are the end of themselves. But you know what David did? I like David. When I go to heaven, I'll go and look for him. He went, he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Encouraged himself, then went to the priest and went to ask counsel. What are we to do here? Should we just stay here and keep mourning, or should we go for it? God said, go, and without fail, you will recover all. Without fail, you will recover all. This morning, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, no matter what may have been lost in your life, no matter what the enemy may have stolen in your life, I've come to assure you by the word of God that you will recover all. Amen. You will recover all. In that relationship, you will recover all. In that business, you will recover all. In your family, whatever may have been lost, you will recover all. If you believe that, say amen this morning. Thank you, Father. But what do I need to do to be a beneficiary of God's restoration agenda? Number one, you must come to God. You must be born again. Number two, you must be committed to believe in the God who restores. If your health has been lost, the same Jesus who was healing, remember where we started? I like how God does it. We are back to where we started. The same Jesus who we saw healing in the beginning is the same Jesus yesterday, today, and forever. He will heal you. You have to believe in that. You have to believe that he will restore your life. Job lost everything. But in Job chapter 42, verse 10, when he prayed for his friends, God restored everything that he had lost double. He forgave his friends and prayed for them. Seek the interest of God. Be committed to serving God and the interest of God, and then seeking the interest of others as well. And you must settle down in God's house and look for his deliverance. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, whatever may have been lost, lost health, lost glory, lost honor, lost years, In the name of Jesus Christ, may God restore this morning. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Oh, say aloud amen this morning. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And today is our special day to receive communion and to receive healing as well. But I sense in my heart that not only do people need physical healing, but in some cases, people need healing emotionally. Healing in their emotions. Healing in their minds. Every aspect of your life that is not whole this morning, I pray, may God make you completely whole. Notice what the Bible says in Matthew. Let's go over some scriptures to build our faith along those lines. And then we'll take communion. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 12, verse 15 says, and when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitude followed him, and he healed them all. He healed them what? All. If you had been there, you would have been healed as well. And this morning, the same Jesus, he's here right now. Matthew chapter 14, verse 36. Thank you, Lord Jesus. His presence is so strong in this place this morning. He says, start from verse 35. He'll give you a clearer picture. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all the surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it, were made perfectly well. This morning, his presence is here. You can touch him for your healing. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Luke chapter 6. Verse 19. Luke chapter 6, verse 19. Luke chapter 6, verse 19. Thank you, Father. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. Healed how many?
All.
Healed how many?
All.
And Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Settle on this morning that it is God's will to heal you and to make you whole. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, it says, and when he had come down from the mountain, great multitude followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Verse 3, then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. This man came to Jesus and wasn't sure that Jesus is willing to heal him. He noticed he didn't question the power or the ability of Jesus to do it. He says he's not sure if he's willing. But the same words he says to that man is the same words he says to you this morning. I am willing. Settle it. That is God's will to heal you and to make you whole.
We pray this message empowered you to press on in your walk with the Lord. On our website, find the contact button where you can send us questions about the message you just heard. Be sure to download our WMCI app from your App Store to stay connected and grow with many great resources we have available for your Christian growth.